When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, welcome to my first time, a mostly sexy sex podcast from Broadly. My name is Xing Xing.
I think, like, in general, my, like, internet persona makes me seem like a bit of an ice queen. In some ways, I like that because that's maybe not how I'm able to be in real life because I'm just kind of like a dork or whatever.
Today on My First Time, how does the line go? Combine your pet's name with the name of the street you grew up on, and that's the way you come up with your porn name, which makes mine Jockey Shelford, which is honestly not bad.
Hi, my name is Bex Ashley, and this is the story of how I first did porn.
The porn industry has grown rapidly in parallel with the growth of the internet. According to Quartz, researchers believe it makes anything from $6 billion to $97 billion a year. And with that boom has come a whole new expansion in the types of porn you can get. Our guest today, Vex Ashley, works in the adult industry. She stars in porn films and directs porn films, running the site of 4chamberedheart.com. It's an incredible website, more about what you can't see than what you can see. We'll come back to 4chambers in a bit. Growing up as a child on the internet, Vex has always been fascinated by sex, and that meant there was only ever going to be one profession for her. With a pretty admirable sense of adventure and openness, Vex got into porn pretty early on. This is her story.
Weirdly, like, I feel like I've always been fascinated with strippers and, like, exotic dancers. And, like, I remember being a kid and, like, I used to draw all the time. And I would, like, draw these kind of, like, super kind of, like, curvy, like, busty women when I was, like, in primary school. I remember my mum being like, why are you drawing these? I think I've always had, like, a fascination with the idea of being, like, of sex and sexuality and, like, what it means to kind of, like, be sexy, I guess. I worked out that I could go online and I would have, like, very basic cyber sex with other people on... Do you remember this website called, like, Have a Hotel? Oh my God, it was so bad. It was, like, these, like, little anime figures in, like, this virtual hotel. But people just used it to, like... But it was totally anonymous. And I think that was what was really interesting, was that was the time in the internet where you could kind of play around with sex and sexuality in a way that was much more anonymous because people didn't have an online presence. You didn't have, your face generally wasn't associated with what you were doing on the internet. So I would read basically erotic fan fiction and like written erotica online a lot. And I would like go in chat rooms and sex people. And I remember working out that you could sort of like see these tiny like 10-minute previews of clips on porn sites. And they were these, in my head, they were these kind of like very old-fashioned porn sites. I think there was one that was like about MILFs. And so it wasn't really about like what I wanted to see. It was definitely just like what I could find at the time. And I was kind of fascinated with it, but I always much preferred like reading porn than I ever did like watching the videos. And I think what's kind of interesting is like a lot of the stuff that was like written down was a lot more like kind of taboo and like dirtier or whatever than the stuff that you could even now, like the stuff that you can watch in porn, like the stuff that I was like reading when I was like discovering my sexuality and that kind of thing, always felt like it was like way dirtier than that.
Our guest today, Vex Ashley, started incorporating sex into her artwork as a student. It played into her spirit of experimentation. In fact, art and sex has run through all of Vex's work.
I was at art school and I was making work that wasn't really about sex, but I always liked the idea of kind of like using my body in my artwork. So I was kind of taking photographs of myself that were nude and like using my body as like a kind of sculptural like form or whatever. And then I was kind of interested as to like whether or not kind of like getting naked on the internet would be something that would be like interesting kind of creatively, but also just like I thought the idea was quite hot. Like I've always been a little bit of an exhibitionist, like I've always been pretty kind of like comfortable and like experimental, and I just like doing stuff that other people maybe wouldn't do. So I started taking pictures for kind of like a Suicide Girls-y alt girl modeling website kind of thing called God's Girls. I really enjoyed it. Like I liked kind of like the creative aspect of it as well, and a lot of the girls on that site, it sort of introduced me to this community of people who, like myself, have maybe grown up on social media, who would realize they could kind of capitalize off of sharing their image in that way. So there were girls who were webcamming on there, and I'd never really heard of or seen anyone camming before, and I started doing that. And loved that, and I felt like I met a big group of people through that who were other models and that kind of thing. We really connected, and I was kind of exposed to this big community of like people who were making kind of like porn and sex work. But what I felt like I wasn't necessarily seeing a massive amount of was people who were using porn as like a kind of creative medium, like a vehicle for ideas or something like that. It was very much like functional product, as opposed to it being like, what can we do with this? Like, how can we play with this? How can we like fuck with this in some way? And so me and my partner started to just like shoot little kind of bullshit kind of videos and putting them on Vimeo of like, we were kind of interested in making like porn music videos almost like. So we'd pick like a piece of music and we'd shoot some kind of weird naked stuff with like writhing bodies and that kind of thing, and then cut it to the music. And we'd put that on social media sites like Tumblr. And the response that we were getting from that was kind of really incredible. So we decided to kind of like see if we could shoot, like, for want of a better word, like a real porn in that style. And so that's kind of like, I sort of, it all started as a bit of an experiment, and like however many years, maybe like 5 years later, here I am.
When she first started making porn, our guest Vex worked with her partner, though Vex's partner was not actually in front of the camera all the time. Vex wanted to try out new technology and new techniques making films, but she was also challenging both herself and her partner, what they were comfortable with and what they weren't comfortable with.
Me and my partner had made a video that was just of me, and we'd got this like macro lens on the camera, and we were kind of interested in the idea that like a lot of the porn you would see would be like shot from this like weird middle distance. So it would kind of, because you kind of want like the whole body and like the genitals and the face and like everything was kind of shot in this very like clinical middle distance kind of way. And we were interested in like what it felt like if the camera was like super close, like really uncomfortably close. So we shot a video that was like a solo video that was just me. And we were like, that would be really cool to see what it would be like with another person. Like, how would that work? Like, but you have to get so close with this camera. Like, if you've ever used a macro lens, like you have to be like basically sort of like almost like a hand's distance away from like what you're shooting. It can be really intense because like your camera's moving around and that kind of thing. So we decided that we wanted to try and do that with another person. And I had met somebody online who was like a male porn performer that I'd sort of like been chatting with. And we were like, yeah, like this guy, it's gonna happen. He seems like the right person for the job or whatever. But I, at that point, like I'd never performed with anyone else really seriously before. And also like within our relationship, like I hadn't had sex with anyone else. So it was kind of like, we thought we had it. Like we were like, yes, it's gonna be great. It'll be really interesting. And then when we actually like went to do it, it was like way harder for my partner than like they were expecting at all. Like, we flew to America and we went on this big holiday and we met up with this porn performer, and he was kind of like super cool and he was very nice, and we went for breakfast, and then we went back to his place and kind of got everything set up, and we were like, right, let's go. And I kind of like, I'm like, I'm going to do the best job that I can. So I'm like really into it and I'm trying really hard. And I'm kind of like not really necessarily thinking about the camera in a directory point of view. We'd kind of worked out what we were doing beforehand. But as soon as we stopped filming, it felt like it had gone super well for me. And I like turned to my partner and I was like kind of like smiling and being like, yeah, that's going to be really good. And I could just sort of like see in their face that they were just like, nope. Like, they're actually sort of like the reality of like watching me have sex with somebody else, especially from like that close, filming it on like a macro lens and kind of having to watch it in that like intensity, had like really hit them harder than they were necessarily prepared for. So it's kind of interesting, because then we had to like do all this like extra kind of like work with like us and our relationship and like what that meant for us, and like what me shooting porn or like what having sex with somebody else actually sort of really meant, I guess. It sort of like affected them emotionally way more than they were expecting, I think. Like, I think sometimes what's interesting about like human emotions, I think, is that sometimes you can logically kind of think you're going to be okay with something and you can kind of unpick it as like a kind of functional thing. But then when it comes down to it, your like visceral gut reaction is sometimes surprising to you. And I think what's really interesting is that actually, like, that's like that kind of like panic, I think, where you're not prepared for how something feels. And they since have, they took it really hard. But afterwards, what they've done is they've taken that intensity of feeling and they've kind of like morphed it. They've like, so now like my partner finds it really hot to watch me have sex with other people, maybe because they felt so intensely about it like that first time, that like they took all that intense feeling and they like turned it into something that was like a positive as opposed to a negative.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Never forget, porn is a performance. For our guest Vex, she's tried to create a character. So what's a USP?
I think that in general, my like online internet persona, I think I come across quite cold, like not necessarily cold, but I think that it comes across like I'm a little bit aloof and I'm like a bit mysterious or whatever. And I quite like pretending to be like that in some capacity, but I'm not like that at all. Like I'm like, you can't shut me up. Like I'm just kind of goofy. And like, especially when I'm on set, like I don't try and kind of hide those parts about myself. Like I always want to kind of like try and have a good time on set. Like I want to try and sort of like, I'd rather just be a nice person than be like an elitist kind of like snobby person or anything like that. And because for the most part, like I'm the director, like I think it's really important for me to like be warm and like come across as like somebody who's like, you know, who is easy to get along with and that kind of thing. I think like in general, my like internet persona makes me seem like a bit of an ice queen. And in some ways I like that, because that's maybe not how I'm able to be in real life, because I'm just kind of like a dork or whatever. So it's kind of nice to like mess around with that. But I think it's always really important to me as a director. What we always do is like often like our films can be quite like conceptual and they can kind of seem a little bit like kind of fucking pretentious or whatever. But at the end of it, we always like include like a little bit of like outtakes, kind of like, do you ever watch like films in the 80s where they'd always have like a bloopers reel at the end of like Jim Carrey kind of like fucking up or whatever? We always include like a little bit of like stuff that we filmed where we're like not performing necessarily, like either we're like laughing or we're kind of like eating food afterwards or something like that, because it breaks the unreality of it a little bit, and it sort of like allows you as a viewer to sort of see that everything isn't necessarily that serious and everything isn't necessarily that contrived. So that's been something that's important for me, to kind of like break that mold, I guess. I think that like with the Four Chambers project, like what we were really interested in doing was like playing with the aesthetics of porn and sex, and how we could sort of like use sexuality to talk about other things and to kind of like reference other things. And so I just love anything like really fucking weird. So I love like liquids, like pouring stuff on people. We've done shoots with like eggs and fish and stuff, like stuff for me, like porn is most interesting when it's like a little bit gross. I kind of think that sex is like kind of like half like transcendent, like, you know, like orgasm or whatever, and it's half kind of like just like dirty and like a little bit disgusting. And I think sex isn't hot unless it's a little bit disgusting. So I really like making films that combine those two things, like something being like really gorgeous and something being kind of grotesque as well.
Our guest Vex has been working in porn for over 5 years. Her website Four Chambers is a space to experiment and create an atmosphere, an ambiance. In comparison to the normal tube sites, it's in a totally different dimension.
It's weird, like, I don't necessarily have a gaze in mind, but I have, like, an idea in that I think that what I think sometimes is a little bit, like, lacking from a lot of, like, the more traditional mainstream kind of porn that I was watching was this idea of, like, atmosphere. So sometimes if you watch like a sex scene on TV, and if it's like a shit sex scene, the way that it's kind of like lit and shot and like the kind of attention to the buildup of atmosphere can have quite a significant effect. Whereas sometimes in porn, it's like you can hear like the squeaking of the bed, and you can kind of like, it's very flat sometimes. So what I was interested in doing was being like, how can I portray the atmosphere of sex as opposed to just like the graphic explicitness of it? So it was like, put across this idea of like build up of like intensity, or of like that you can't see everything all at once, that you are as a viewer like looking for what you want to see as opposed to just kind of instant gratification. And I think that's something that is really interesting to mess around with in porn, because I think a lot of porn works on initial impact. It's like when you're like scrolling through a tube site or whatever looking for it, it's like the description's always like four keywords that you always search for, and then it's got to, you know, follow a certain formula, because you're like, cool, I want to see the oral sex here, and then I want to see fucking from this position and fucking this position, and I want to see like, you know, this orgasm or whatever. And I think that actually if you deconstruct that formula, you can fuck around with it in a really interesting way. It doesn't necessarily have to do that or be that.
Most of the experiences that Vex has had in porn have been positive. She enjoys the work, she feels fulfilled artistically, and she's open about it to her friends and family. But she's also had to deal with the world changing around her, and sex workers aren't always looked upon favourably.
So, SESTA Foster is legislation that was brought in to, specifically in the US, but because it affects the internet, it's kind of, its ripples have been felt worldwide. It basically makes companies responsible for the content that is hosted on their website. So it was previously, if you posted a tweet on Twitter, you, as the person posting it, was responsible for the content of it and not Twitter. But what Foster SESTA does is specifically to say that if somebody could be proven in court suspected to be using a website to in some way solicit what they would consider to be sex trafficking, that the website itself can be sued. Basically, sex workers are being kind of deleted from online life. And I think what we can't ignore is the fact that so much of our life exists online as like a global community now. And it's now kind of become totally legislated to just kind of like push these people into the shadows and push these people to the margins. Obviously, like, I'm not the person who is most affected by that legislation, but what it has meant is that, for example, I was funding my project on a website called Patreon post Foster Sesta and post them getting some massive investment from an outside company. They basically cleared house. So I, the way I was funding my project before, I was kind of, they gave me a call and said that basically, like, that we can't use that site anymore. So I basically lost all of my income in the space of like 24 hours. One thing that, like, I definitely learned from porn, but I feel like everyone could learn from porn, is that actually, like, about how to talk and communicate about sex. Because, like, on a porn set, you basically turn up and you will have a conversation with somebody before you shoot a scene, being like, hey, today I am super down to do this, this, and this. I don't really like it when somebody does it like this, but if you could do it like this, that would be really great. If you're going to do this, then, you know, don't spit in my face, maybe spit on my tits. Like, there's a lot more specifics about, like, what somebody's into than I think a lot of, like, especially within kind of like day-to-day heteronormative kind of society, we don't have those conversations about sex in such an upfront way. And I'm a people pleaser. And I think that I spent a bunch of time not talking about what I wanted in bed and, like, not talking about how sex was for me. And doing porn really forced me to kind of confront that. I definitely, like, my relationship with my partner is so much better for, like, having to have difficult conversations about that kind of stuff, like having to work through things like that, because actually, like, it means that you kind of become more, like, vulnerable emotionally in a way that you maybe didn't have to before. And that's really good, because if you can kind of work through that with somebody, and, like, having a conversation about, you know, you fucking somebody else for work, for anything, means that, you know, you've got to talk about some difficult shit. And I think not a lot of people have to do that. And I think what's interesting is, like, doing something that exists on the margins of stuff, it really makes you confront a lot of what you are kind of dictated to by society about what is acceptable and not acceptable.
Our guest today, Vex, is an advocate for good pornography. She enjoys filming it, starring in it, building a business. And though it has its challenges, it sounds like she has a pretty good thing going on. Don't forget, though, it is a job. And when things become 9 to 5, they can sometimes lose their appeal. Like any other gig, working in porn has its boring moments.
It's funny because people send me emails sometimes being like, hi, I want to come and, like, make a documentary about you, like, being a porn director and stuff. And I'm like, well, I hope you enjoy watching me sitting in my, like, dirty, stained pajamas, like, editing on the computer for 12 hours a day while, like, my cats just, like, mill around me. I'm like, the biggest proportion of it is just, like, just the grunt work. Like, we do everything ourselves, like, everything's in-house. So it's, like, all the editing, all of the computer stuff, like, everything is sort of, like, just done by me, basically. So it's not, like, this super, like, glamorous. There's actually, for the most part, within, like, porn now, it's often just, like, DIY independent people who are just kind of producing everything themselves. The kind of ubiquity of big business porn is very much being, like, decentralized and kind of challenged by like the different, now there's lots of different avenues to make porn, and, like, a lot of people are, like, kind of amateurs doing it for themselves, which I think is really good and really interesting. I think the idea of what being a porn performer means and what the reality of it is, like, even on a big set, it's like, there's a bunch of waiting around. You probably aren't even going to get to fuck, you know, and until, like, the end of the day, you're probably going to be tired. You have to, like, you know, you have to hold your body in this position for a bit, and then you have to, like, twist it around and in this position, and then you've got to sign paperwork, and you've got to, it's... The labor of porn performance is something that we don't often necessarily kind of, like, talk about honestly, because I feel like it breaks the mystique to some capacity. But I think there's a lot more conversation about it nowadays, a little bit, where people are kind of trying to address that in some way.
Thanks for listening to My First Time, a mostly sexy sex podcast from Broadly. And thank you very much to our guest, Vex Ashley. My name is Zing Sing, and I'm the UK editor at Broadly. This episode was produced by Sam Bonham. If you like what you hear, share the love, rate us and subscribe to the podcast. And please check out the article on Broadly featuring Vex. See you next week.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.